I think a lot of us these days are writing our political feelings. I brought two, one short, one long. This is a short one. And there is indeed a Meesic, Michigan. Meesic, Michigan, a tavern with a gas pump, a break from fly rods rattling in back, snowflakes flung in my face, squealing wipers sweeping them away. Just fuel, men's room, Clark Bar, homeward. But for the long, mean line of bar stools, village sots in orange caps and camouflage, passing judgment on the evening news. Martin Luther King in Memphis. Someone ought to shoot the SOB, one muttered. An hour later, someone did. I wonder if the bastards cheered. My stomach still revolts each time I have to pass that way. Their rage rattling in back. Trump flung in my face. And the long one. This is called Marching Again. 1969, rain was falling on the lady marching at my side, on 15,000 of us marching to the walking to the Capitol to bring our sons and brothers home, to keep them from the march into Cambodia. The lady wheeled her baby up the avenue, one hand on the carriage, one on the umbrella. No hand left to wave a sign. We sang songs of peace beneath a sea of parasols. Women and black men waved and smiled. White men wearing ties just glared. We got the finger from the Oldsmobile mechanics, a twisted article in the journal. Though we passed the hospital in silence, politely listened to the governor. Drip, drip from the trees. We marched, we voted, the war went on. Agent Orange killed my cousin, slowly. Don Adamson met a bullet in the jungle. Lee Lin Long escaped Saigon, drifted, robbed, and naked in an open boat. Monsoons washed and buried millions. The survivors are communists now, making our shoes, buying our cars. Businessmen visit Hanoi, and I guess that's good. But what did all that blood buy anyone? Rain is falling again. It drips from oaks and maples, leaning over us like mothers with umbrellas. Pitter-patter on the roof. Last night, midnight, a motorcycle backfired. Bang! It woke me up. On the other side of town, bang means someone died. Someone young and black, most likely, hands high and innocent, or maybe ambushed, Glock in pocket. Perhaps a cop who stepped into a squabble, or a young girl sitting on her porch. We're marching again to stop this bleeding, waving signs and singing songs. I wonder if they'll work this time. Change of pace. My acupuncturist, who's about half my age, lamented that she was losing so many of her parents' generation that she was getting depressed by all the goodbyes. That led to this poem. I'm learning to say goodbye. Stackman Rachel of Plum, 95, peacefully in her sleep. Swartz Dottie, age 85, after a long decline. Geisler Donald, 77, of Ross, beloved husband of 55 years. I'm 74. The numbers creep closer. My aunts and uncles have all passed. Colleagues, classmates, cousins. Compare what isn't working anymore. We call it the organ recital. Force a smile. Better to laugh, we tell ourselves. Yes, yes, if we must face west, sag resigned into the sunset. To hell with that. There's also east. Did you see the hues of dawns today? Ellie of the Technicolor hair. Matthew's yellow mohawk. Calvin's chartreuse Hogwarts tea. Bright colored birds chirping at sunrise, fluttering, flocking, a swirl of young wings. My ears are a tortoise, their chatter a hare. They're apt to escape down some digital hole. It isn't easy to talk with tomorrow. Still, I need to learn to say hello. I think that aging is affecting my poetry, but not necessarily in a nostalgic way, and not necessarily negatively at all. In some ways, I think I'm more and more amazed at it all. This one is called "I'd Like to Know," and it has an epigraph. I'd like to know what this whole show is all about before it's out. Pete Hine. The marble bookend elephants retreat. New books pour in, nudging, shoving, with sharp elbows, clever hips. They crowd the tusks and tuck the tails, endless forms most beautiful. Schrodinger's kittens, the search for reality, fearful symmetry, Goldilocks planet. Each a teacup dipped into the sea by Einstein, Darwin, Copernicus, et alia, savored in curiosity and wonder, earnestly passed to me. That ocean is a potent brew, a trillion swirling Milky Ways, fluorescent waves of diatoms, phantom flickers in the vacuum, and sailors' tales of tiny creatures creeping from the deeps of time to shore. But mostly what I've seen beyond the teacup's brim has been horizon. I think I should tell you who Gibb is in this next poem. Gibb was a fellow professor at Elmira College with me. His son was in my physical chemistry class and was making fun of my head one day. His father's was similar, and so I said, "Chuck, you're pre-med. Shouldn't you know something about genetics?" And he said, "Well, my dad's not bald because of genetics. Go talk to him." So I did, and here's the poem. How to grow bald. Esprit de corps, Gibb chuckled. Not genes at all. North Africa in 42, and we were engineers. That's capital E for elite. So we shaved our heads, built roads and dug up mines under the fierce Sahara sun. Scorched our roots, it did. We came home lean, brown, and bald as buzzards. Genes all the way, my dad muttered. So don't get used to yours. I fought it all the way, he said. Drenched those follicles in herbs and oils, bundled them in Turkish towels, sauna hot to urge the blood cells through. To help them breathe, you know. Couldn't save the little devils, though. I froze mine solid one January night as I walked home from basketball. So mother cut it short. But the smarter I got, the longer it grew, a mane by assistant professor, wild tangle of unconformity. Then, as a dying star blasts its swirls and curls of hydrogen into the dusty universe, dwindles to its glowing pink core, I did too.